welcome to a special edition of Homespun C-SPAM. Today we bring you the debate between George Allen and James Webb you have never heard. That is because when WRIR was the only radio station in Richmond to request press entry to the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce debate between Allen and Webb, the Green Party candidate for Senate, Gail Parker, was not allowed to join Allen and Webb on stage. But WRIR set her up in a corner with a microphone to make comments during the debate. Imagine a political version of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Of course, everyone who has heard of macaque monkeys or what senatorial candidates thought of women in the military knows who George Allen, the Republican, and James Webb, Democrat, then Republican, and now back to Democrat, who they are. So I'll skip those introductions and focus on Gail Parker, who is described by Wikipedia as a businesswoman, a retired Air Force officer, and a retired Pentagon budget analyst, who is running as the independent Green Party candidate. Curiously, Gail Parker's own website only states she is an independent. We will get to that debate and a juicy extra in about 2 minutes. First, circumstances force me to mention that this is WRIR's Pledge Drive week as well. So call us 804-622-9747. WRIR is demonstrating the power of the personal and the people. WRIR got off the ground with zero government, zero foundation dollars. It was 100% community powered. So don't hesitate to keep this jewel shining for the world to see. 804-622-9747. This is the nation's largest community LPFM and the only LPFM to carry NPR and Pacifica Network feeds. WRIR is one of the very few radio stations of any wattage to make such a strong commitment to public affairs programming to put the fuel of facts and ideas into the civic economy. Cough up some of those dead presidents we need to pay off the electric bill and keep replacing equipment that we break because we run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 804-622-9747. Also, be a part of asking the relevant question. Email us when you see something that looks like news to you that the lamestream media does not report. You can email us at news@wrir.org. And if there is an event that should be recorded that you know other media will conveniently be too busy to record, you can email me, max@wrir.org. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People include, begin with the end in mind. Imagine what you want people to say of you at your funeral, for example. I want people to say he strove to ask the relevant questions. Sometimes if a problem is stumping you, you just need to ask a different question. And so WRIR asks, what can we do to commemorate those who labor on Labor Day week? You can hear those special programs by visiting WRIR.org. Just click on Schedule, then Homespun C-SPAN, and look for the Labor Day special series we did for Sprouts, a National Pacifica satellite-fed show to 55 stations. Yes, we are now heard on 55 radio stations, twice now, on the Pacifica Network feed because of your donations. So help us continue to grow and share the wealth that is Richmond, rich world. Speaking of the events that other stations won't carry, when I called the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce to get press access to this debate, several facts came to light. Number one, I was told that we were the only radio station in all of Richmond to even request access. And there were two huge platforms of media, and yet, as far as I could see, WRIR was the only media to give the independent candidate for Senate any real chance to make her points. This certainly includes both religious media as well as a lack of NPR media covering that independent candidate. And then finally, when the press packed like ravenous piranha around Allen at the press conference, it became obvious that I was the only media that asked what seemed to me to be an obvious question. It's an obvious question because when you're surrounded by 30 yelling reporters, you need something short and pithy. It needs no nuancing. It's got to be blunt to make it through that circus. What additionally made that question so obvious was that I was possibly the only media to ask it, was that Allen kind of gave me a deer-in-the-headlights pause of at least 2 or 3 seconds when he heard the question, then immediately turned to a familiar media face and got a safe question. And that question was, since George Bush has stated this war will last many, many years, and since James Webb's son just went off to Iraq to serve in the military, the question is, Will George Allen's children be joining James Webb's son in Iraq? It's hard to hear in the crowd because I was pointing the microphone at Mr. Allen, of course, who did not answer, "Will your children join Webb's child in Iraq?" And Allen's wife answered. I quickly corrected, but it's a little hard to hear it to be.
Will your children join Senator Webb's children in Iraq?
The president sounded pretty uncompromising.
Will he stop attacking
last
our
week?
Kids?
Are you persuaded now?
When has he attacked your kids?
Yeah, they are.
I thought I would give George Allen a second chance, give it a try. So I asked again, got the same pattern, but a different answer this time from Mrs. Allen. You should have seen the look on her.
Will your children possibly be joining Webb's son in Iraq?
We have an 8-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old son, and an 18-year-old daughter. I was the daughter of a Marine pilot, Mr. Smithton.
Let's go back.
Yes,
do you believe that by asking that question, that Peggy was making a suggestion about racist notions on the part of your mother?
I did not get a chance to follow up her question to ask Webb about hinted attacks on their children, as Webb's press conference 30 feet away had already dissolved. So the point here is that WRIR is the only media in all the states around that came to that event to give an independent Senate candidate a chance to speak. And it appears that WRIR may be the only media that asked George Allen what seemed to be an obvious question, one that was already popularized, already on some people's mind, as a result of Fahrenheit 9/11 showing Michael Moore walking around asking senators and congress critters whether their children were or should be in the Iraq military force. It's hardly a unique question, and yet there was no answer from George Allen. If you support media that will take the time to ask the question, to turn the light to the white elephant in the living room, call now 804-622-9747. That's 804-622-9747. You can also donate online, and you can also see a lot of these things on our website archived. So check out WRIR.org. So now we take you to a special edition of WRIR's Homespun C-SPAN, where we take the comments of Virginia Independent Senate candidate Gail Parker and play those comments as close to the moment in the debate where she said them, yet minimalizing interruptions of the statements of the Democrat and Republican candidates. This debate was recorded September 18, 2006, at the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce in Fairfax, Virginia. Gail Parker did not get her two-minute opening statement as the other two did, of course, so you'll just hear her comments jumping in. She's the only woman, of course.
Senator Allen, we're each going to have two-minute opening statements, and Senator Allen, you're first.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Thank you to Bill Likos and all the folks with the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce for hosting this debate. I'm proud and honored to be joined by my wonderful wife, my First Lady, always my First Lady, Susan. I'm also glad to be joined with my partner and teammate in the United States Senate, John Warner. I see Tom Davis here on the other side of the Capitol, and Frank Wolf may be here as well. My friends, it's good to be with all of you all as well, because we've worked together over the years as a U.S. senator, as a governor, to improve the lives of people here in Northern Virginia, which has, of course, helped our entire Commonwealth and indeed our nation. Over the years, we've worked together on key projects, and now that I live in Northern Virginia, I agree with and understand the agony of and congestion. But I took the lead as governor as well as a U.S. senator on getting the Woodrow Wilson Bridge project done, the mixing bowl, getting HOV2 inside the Beltway on Interstate 66, and now we need to widen Interstate 66, working with partners to also get rail to Dulles, Metro Rail to Dulles. We've worked to make our community safer with the abolition of parole and the institution of truth in sentencing, and now working to work to make sure that we crack down on these violent gangs that haunt our neighborhoods and schools. We've also worked to make sure that Virginia and America is more competitive for investment and jobs. I want to make sure we're the world capital of innovation. How's that done with less taxation on entrepreneurship, on families, and on the internet? We need more personalized health care options, less litigation. We need energy independence so that we're not dependent on hostile parts of the world and dictators for our energy security. We also need better education, particularly in science, technology, and engineering, if we're going to be the world capital of innovation. I've enjoyed working with you all in the past. This campaign is about all these issues, not one issue. And you can count on me, based on my record of performance, to fight for our shared values to make Virginia a better place to live, learn, work, and to raise our families.
Okay. You didn't call my name. I'm very pleased to be here with George and George and the panel. And my wife, Hung, is here with us. And I also would like to recognize Senator Warner, for whom I did some service while I was a Marine, the last year in the Marine Corps, when he was Secretary of the Navy. Good to see you, sir. I would echo my concerns on all the issues that Senator Allen just mentioned. I would like to take one moment here, if I'm into the issues, to just say how proud I am to be standing here as a candidate for the United States Senate. This is a unique country. It provides so many people with the kind of opportunities that they would not be able to have in any other system on Earth. We're a multicultural society in a state of continuous abrasion that sometimes makes us very contentious. On the other, it makes us the most creative society on Earth. And when I was sitting at my desk this morning thinking about this event, I was looking at a picture of my grandfather, which has been above my desk now for more than 20 years. He was a sharecropper in East Arkansas at the time that he passed. He had been born in Kentucky from a family that had come out of Southwest Virginia, Franklin County. And it was one of only two pictures that had ever been taken of him. And I was looking up there at him with his overalls on and a look in his eye that could crack a rock, and I couldn't help but smile thinking about what he might be thinking himself of this day. And those are the anchors of what I believe in. Those are the loyalties that I come from. We must make the United States a place that is fair and open for everyone, and where the leadership of this country will put preeminently its responsibility to take care of all Americans, and particularly those who are sent into harm's way. Thank you.
I'm in this race because we need more candidates on the ballot. We can't leave the running of our country to millionaires. We middle-class folks need to run for office and take back our country. I am in this race to talk about two issues that the other two candidates will not talk about, and that is our need for high-speed passenger rail service, not only in Virginia, but across the country, and our need to address the national debt. It's almost doubled since 2001, up from $5 trillion with a T to almost double that, $8.5 trillion now. In another 6 years, our national debt will be $17 trillion. We can't afford six more years of this. That's why you need to send me to to Washington. That's why I'm the best candidate in this race. Budget cutting is my trade. I am a retired Air Force officer. I'm a retired budget analyst. I'm a mother of three children, and I'm the grandmother of four.
Secretary Webb, I wasn't planning on asking a question so soon, but you said something there that really piqued my interest. You said we're a multicultural society that sometimes creates abrasion. What's the chief source of abrasion in Virginia and the United States right now?
Well, when I said we're a multicultural society in a continuous state of abrasion, not sometimes, and we are. We come from different cultural reference points. We bring different philosophies about how government should work, about all of the issues that we end up debating. And I think if you look right now at where we are, it's no different than where we've ever been. This is the great creativity of the United States political process, that in terms of defining the issues that separate us, this is no different than it ever was. The great issues that separate us right now, in my view, are foreign policy on the one hand. Our foreign policy is in a state of complete disarray as a result of the invasion and occupation of Iraq, and also what I've been calling the three Americas, that with the internationalization of our economy and globalization, we are breaking apart in a way that we never have before. I spent a good bit of time analyzing this over the years, even before I thought I would run. The people at the top in this society have never had it so good, and that's not a class warfare comment. The middle class, with the raising of medical costs and with a stagnation of its income level, is in great danger right now, and we need people who will focus on that.
Speaking of candidates, don't wait to register. The deadline to register or to update your registration to vote is tomorrow, Tuesday, October 10th. Don't give up your whining rights. Register by tomorrow, the end of tomorrow, October 10th. You are listening to a very special debate that you have never heard before between Virginia Senate candidates George Allen and James Webb that includes comments from the independent candidate, Gail Parker. We imposed her comments because she was at a microphone recording her comments from the back of the room. I inserted those comments as close to the moment she said them as possible, meanwhile trying to minimize the interruptions of the Democrat and Republican candidates favored to speak on the stage by the host of this forum, the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce. If you support such efforts to bring forth voices that would otherwise go unheard, the original founding statement of the National Public Radio on PBS and the founding 1969 Carnegie Commission study that led to the creation of NPR and PBS, then call WRIR at 804-622-9747 and pledge your support. We don't get any money from the foundations or government sources you may have heard allegedly give money to stations such as this. We have no stockholders, only stakeholders. Your dividend is a media that will ask the questions no other media will. Your profit is hearing your neighbors produce music and information that comes from your neighborhood, or at least people who live much as you do. So make sure it stays around by pledging at 804-622-9747. You can also hear archives and additional audio, such as the entire press conference for George Allen, at WRIR.org.
Senator Allen, do we have three Americas?
We have one America. It's an America that is a patchwork of... We're America that is a patchwork of different people from different parts of the world. We're going to be celebrating next year the 400th anniversary of Jamestown. Jamestown was the cradle of American liberty. From the very beginning, Jamestown was the bringing together, the converging of different cultures. And of course, through the years, it has expanded not just from Europe and the native Indians who were here and the Africans who were brought in involuntarily. But through the years, all those threads have been woven together in our country, and people have come from other parts of the world. This audience here, the people here in Northern Virginia, realize that what's essential for America is that we continue to be the magnet for the best minds in the world. There's a salient issue here and a difference with my opponent, and that is we do need to be the magnet for the best minds in the world. If we're going to be the world capital of innovation, we do need more young people interested in technology and engineering and science so that we can develop the new inventions, intellectual property, and inventions of the future. I'm one who believes that we ought to have H-1B visas. They're essential. It's one of the reasons I was awarded by the Northern Virginia Technology Council with the highest award, the Chairman's Award, because I do think that we need to bring people into this country so that the inventions are made, manufactured, and designed here rather than going offshore. But we also need to incent Americans now, especially more women, more African Americans, more Latinos to get interested in science and technology and engineering. And I hope that we have more time to discuss this very important mission, which I consider one of the key leadership programs and missions for our country's future.
Of course, there are three Americas. And folks who don't recognize that aren't facing reality. What we need to do is get back to the American dream and restore the American dream and get back to peace.
Secretary Webb, you get 30 seconds.
We have one America as a people. We have three Americas in terms of our economy. There's no question about it. Corporate profits are at an all-time high as percentage of our national wealth. Wages and earnings are at an all-time low in the percentage of our national wealth. In terms of H-1 visas, we do need to bring qualified people in areas where we cannot find Americans, but we need people in the United States Congress who are going to look after the American worker, and that's one thing that I have pledged to do.
Mark Plotkin, you're up.
Yesterday, on the New York Times, above the fold, I learned that Senator John Warner has a tie. And the tie has a motto on it, and it says, democracy is not a spectator sport. I don't see him wearing it today, but in the article it said that he got this tie from a hero of both of yours, Ronald Reagan. Well, I come from a place and across the river where democracy is a spectator sport, the District of Columbia. The residents of the nation's capital have no vote, no representation. We have an administration that wants to expand democracy everywhere in the world except in his own backyard. So I have a question, first for Senator Allen. Will you follow Congressman Tom Davis, J.C. Watts, and Ken Starr, all who are in favor of the Davis-Norton bill, which will provide a modicum of democracy, representation in the House of Representatives for the 580,000 residents of the nation's capital? And if not, explain why you wouldn't.
Thank you, Mark, for that question. I've gotten it from you on several occasions.
I support voting rights for D.C. And if that means statehood, I support statehood.
One could give legalistic arguments. I'm not. I'm going to talk about principles. And representative democracy is very important. Congressman Davis has a measure that would, I think, is worthy of consideration. Here's what I've advocated. And this is what I am pushing and believe would be the appropriate approach legalistically, constitutionally, as well as the values of representative democracy. The District of Columbia was created to be the seat of government. Jurisdiction is with the Congress. Congressman Davis's bill is an interesting, I think, worthwhile approach. However, so there is no question, I think what ought to be done is what was done with what is now called Arlington County, Virginia. That was once part of D.C. It was retroceded to Virginia. In the future, I think there should be a federal enclave that includes the Capitol, the monuments, the White House, and that would be the District of Columbia. And the balance of the district would be retroceded or ceded back to Maryland as Arlington County was ceded back to Virginia, and you would have representation for the people that live in the District of Columbia. And I think that would be legally sound, constitutionally sound, and most importantly, would achieve the value that we all believe in.
Empty promises.
George, may I ask a follow-up question? It requires just a one-word answer. If the Davis bill passes the House, comes to the Senate where you're a senator, will you vote yes or no?
I look at the measure when it actually passes. I would like the approach that I'd like to take, and that is ceding back the non-federal part of the district
promises,
to Maryland.
Promises, promises.
So I might actually want to amend, I'm not sure what Tom would think of it, but I would amend his bill. The action I would take would amend the bill to cede back the non-federal part to the state of Maryland.
Secretary Webb, the last time I asked you this question, you laughed. It's not a laughing matter. How do you feel? If the Davis bill went past the House and went to the Senate, would you vote yes or no, or would you amend the bill? What would you do?
I'd say, first of all, I laughed because I knew it was coming. I laughed again today because I knew you were going to ask it. And I think I said to you then that I would support this bill. One question that I had, it's a different question than Senator Allen's, is if you look at the, there are certain advantages that come to the District of Columbia as a result of its present status in terms of federal funding and those sorts of things. And it would be interesting to see a plebiscite in the district on the issue. But I would vote for the bill if it came over.
Peggy Fox.
All right, let's just get this on the table. Senator Allen, you have said several times that you made up the word macaca when referring to S.R. Siddharth, a young man of Indian heritage born and raised in Fairfax County who attends your alma mater. But the word is a racial slur in French-influenced African nations, most notably Tunisia. Your mother's Tunisian. Are you sure you had never heard the word? And if you were just making up a name to call Siddharth, why not just call him John, rather than something that sounds derogatory? Was it because he looked different?
This whole incident Macaca incident was, in our opinion, designed to divert attention from the true issues of this campaign, and that are the traffic that people are experiencing in Virginia, that Virginians are experiencing, and the national debt that we're going to have to pay the bill for. This is just a diversionary tactic, and we intend to stay focused in our campaign on the issues of rail and balancing the federal budget. We need to balance the federal budget, pay off the debt. We need to install an auditable accounting system at the Pentagon. We need to stop those no-bid, uncontested contract awards, cut out the waste, and we can build rail with those savings. This year we imported $300 billion in oil products. For a third of that, we could build a nationwide, state-of-the-art, high-speed rail system for just a third of that and cut our dependence on foreign oil in half. Then we wouldn't be paying our money for oil to countries who are really not our friends. We need high-speed passenger rail. We need more trains and less traffic. And we need to build rail now, right now, in Virginia.
I hope you're not trying to bring my mother into this matter. I have said, and I'll say it once again, I made a mistake. It was a thoughtless moment. I have apologized for it as well I should. I have never heard that word before from my mother or from anyone else. If I had any idea that in some parts of the world, for some cultures, that this would be an insult, I would never use that word, because that's not who I am. It's not how I was raised. It's not what I believe in. Whether it was from my father's football teams, where you had people from all different parts of the country and different backgrounds, you don't care about on a football team or sports teams what someone's race or religion or ethnicity is. All you care about is whether they can help the team compete and succeed. And that's a meritocracy that we should aspire to in our country. And if there was one lesson that I learned more than anyone else, from anyone else, it was my mother, whose father was incarcerated by the Nazis in World War II. And of all people in my life who told me about tolerance and not judging people by their religious beliefs or their ethnicity or their race, it is my mother. And so I made that mistake. I will, of course, do better. I'm sorry I said it. Nonetheless, there was no intent whatsoever to insult that young man or anyone else. It is not who I am. And that is why, by the way, State Senator Benny Lambert, an African-American, a Democrat, endorsed me last week, because he knows my record in making sure this is a land of opportunity for all, and especially helping out minority-serving institutions.
May I ask a follow-up to that? Following the Macaca episode, the Jewish press published stories that appeared on the internet that explored your possible Jewish ancestry on your mother's side. You've been quoted as saying your mother's not Jewish, but it has been reported that her father, your grandfather Felix, whom you were given your middle name for, was Jewish. Could you please tell us whether your forebears include Jews, and if so, at which point Jewish identity might have ended?
You know what? I'm glad you all have that. I'm glad you have that reaction. You know what our first freedom in our country was? Freedom of religion, where people's rights are not enhanced nor diminished on account of their religious beliefs. Thomas Jefferson was the author of that. As we try to stand up free and just society, that's the first pillar of a free and just society. And to be getting into what religion my mother is, I don't think is relevant. Whether one person believes in whatever their beliefs may be is not relevant.
Thank you for listening to WRIR's own homespun C-SPAN, where you will hear voices that would otherwise go unheard from your community, your neighbors. For the Second Amendment to have any real meaning, that militia will have to know their government is doing wrong and know detail on how their government is doing wrong and who is doing what. How does that militia know? The media, of course. Freedom of speech is first, and the right to know is second. The right and even obligation to hear a fuller range of human thought in order to fulfill Benjamin Franklin's challenge, you have a democracy if you can keep it. Help keep our democracy informed and inflamed with the shining sun of soliloquy from voices that would otherwise go unheard, and then possibly turn to other solutions that might be violent because they are desperate. Thus, we revive the civic economy, turn over the rocks hiding the next Abramoff or Foley or Lieberman voting for the Military Commissions Act of 2006 that overturns the delicate balance of powers established in the Constitution by the founders. Call 804-622-9747. You just heard the debate you never heard before at the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce between George Allen and James Webb for the 2006 Virginia Senate race, and we set up independent Senate candidate Gail Parker in the back with a microphone to comment on the two candidates that were favored for the race debate by the host for this debate. This was recorded September 18th in Fairfax, Virginia. You can hear the rest of the debate on WRIR.org and next week on Homespun C-SPAN, Mondays at noon. Next up is The Defenders.